Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is February 21st, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to iTunes or Google Podcast and subscribing to Motor Vitality, in which case you get hours and hours and hours of these things that you can listen to. So while we love it that you're listening right now and nobody else is on the call live, I don't want to say nobody else is alive because hopefully we all are, but just not like live at the moment you're listening to this, you know. So, but we do appreciate that. And, you know, any ideas or topics or feedback is always valuable as well. So please, you know, shoot that to us. It is kind of exciting. We're, I think I like this time of year because it's the year that I can start to get some pretty good guest speakers on the call, get some pretty exciting things coming up. We have, I'm going to be going to D.C. with the Water Quality Association here in a couple weeks for the D.C. fly-in where we get to talk to some legislatures and listen to what's going on at the EPA and all that good stuff. So that's a couple days. I fly in the first week of March for that. And so usually there's some pretty good information to share and talk about after that. And then, of course, in exactly 2 months, we've got the WQA convention. And I don't know if any of you are going to that, but if you are, I'd love to see you there. That's out in Vegas in the last week of April. And pretty excited about that. This is, I think it's going to be a good year. So anyway, I want to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by saying, is there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country or anything we can help you with? Any questions? I had a moment of self-reflection this morning, and I wanted to share it a little bit. I basically today, for a topic, I wanted to I do want to talk about sales in general for a few minutes when we're done. But I want to tell you guys, as some of you know that have been on this call for a long time or have listened to some of the old archives, sometimes I use this call almost as a as a therapy session. You know, there'd be things going on in my world, and I'm like, and I'd be like, let's talk about this, you know, because it just, I don't know, I really, I'm not sure why exactly that sometimes it hits me. But anyway, so it's been about 20 years since I came into this industry. And so my daughter was born 19 years ago today, and 19 years ago today, and this is the one who's off gallivanting in the world in Australia right now, and she decided that she was just going to take a couple years off college despite having a scholarship offered, and decided she was going to take a year, and she wants to surf and tour the entire coast of Australia. Which, wow, I mean, it's pretty cool. But anyway, going all the way back to it and reflecting back in the industry, I've talked about this a little bit before, but when I came into this industry, I knew nothing whatsoever about the water treatment industry. I mean, zero. But I wasn't actually hired as a sales guy originally. Originally, I was hired as the sales trainer recruiter, which was a joke because I never owned a water softener. I didn't buy a bottle of water. I knew zero, zero, zero about water treatment at all. And in reality, the reason I was hired was so the owner could use me basically as a threat to the existing sales manager, you know, to say something like, well, see, if you were doing your job, I wouldn't have had to hire Kelly. But they did. When I came in, they were like, you know, you got to whip these salespeople in shape. You've got to get them going. You've got to get them selling. You've got to, and I was like, I was a kid. I mean, not like young, but I was 27 and, And so not a kid, you know, I mean, I had my degree and been to the service, and, you know, so I wasn't like brand new, had one baby on the way, already had a kid, a couple years old, my son, but I came in, and, you know, we had four of the, out of the nine people we had on the team at that time, four of them were in the top 10 for the manufacturer that we, I mean, there was no way I was going to teach these guys anything. You know, there was just, it was a joke to think that I was going to be able to be an effective trainer, recruiter type thing. That's one of the reasons I sought out, by the way, WQA certification. Originally, I did that on my own just because I felt like if I was going to be able to offer anything, I needed to at least understand how this stuff worked. I needed to know more than what the people that I was helping train knew. Anyway, it was a few months. The sales manager did get fired. Another one came in, realized that my job was basically what he should have been doing. And so he and I argued a lot because he was trying to get rid of me, and I didn't, you know, I had a job with a baby coming. My daughter was on her way. And so he and I got into an argument. He ended up firing me, which he should have done because I was insubordinate. But I went to the owner and I said, hey, let me go into sales. And so the owner hired me back, which was one of the reasons sales managers came and went, because they had no authority. The owner would always override them on everything. And, you know, you know, it's very frustrating for a manager to not be able to hold your team accountable. And I totally get that. But anyway, I went into sales, and the thing that I remember about my daughter being born, and the relevance of all of this, is that my very first commission check, I got it the day my daughter was born. And I remember looking, now my daughter was born with a planned cesarean. That was kind of cool. I mean, it was, I actually had it in my calendar, have baby. It was kind of neat. 1 o'clock on February 21st, have baby. That was the day that I got my first commission check for $163, my very first check. And, you know, for 2 weeks, that was for 2 weeks' pay. And I remember looking at this, I mean, frankly, you know, yes, she was my daughter, but are there any really cute babies? Because when they first come out, they're kind of weird looking, right? I mean, I know we can go, oh, what a beautiful baby, you know, but no, they're kind of weird. I mean, she's gorgeous now. She's beautiful now, and she's sort of developed past that little thing that, you know, just hangs out there inside the belly for a while. You know, I remember, of course, I thought she was beautiful because she was mine, you know, I'm also in a little bit of a panic, like, holy crap, what do I do now? I mean, I'm looking at this paycheck for 2 weeks, you know, $80 a week. Woo, rich. That's like a day's worth of formula if you're going to do that. You know, so I had to sit down and seriously, I mean, for everybody, you guys, and you guys know this, for everybody, there are times that you have to take a look at what you're doing for your career and your life and say, is this really what I need to be doing? You know, do I see a way out of this? Is there a future in this? Is this worth the effort? You know, I know that we all sit down and we have those types of decisions and where we have to evaluate it. That was certainly among mine. You know, I'm looking at that going, what do I do? Here's the thing, though. By that time, I had already really started, despite the lack of management and structure at the company I worked for, I really loved the industry. I saw already the potential. I saw I felt good at night. I was able to sleep at night. You know, I loved the look on people's faces, the relationship I had with my customers, everything that, I mean, this wasn't just a sales thing. I was you know, I just bonded with people, with customers, and I felt good about it, you know, to have them talk about the drinking water and the softeners and the things that they, you know, that they never understood before. I mean, it was just, I was really, really enjoying it. So what I needed to do was just sit down and say, okay, what is the minimum amount of money I can live on? Is it possible to hit that? You know, can I do that? And I had to sit down and break it down. Okay, so this is how much I need to make. I really need to make this much. If I'm, and it's a numbers game. You always hear that, right? That part of it. It doesn't, the number, when people just frivolously say, oh, it's a numbers game, they throw out it, you know, you're supposed to break it down. They don't really take into account the psychological impact of that, of playing that numbers game. But even so, it is good to sort of evaluate and see if realistically what you're doing in your career is going to get you where you need to be, because sometimes it's not always where you need to be. So I sat down and I said, okay, I need to sell 12 units a month. In order for me to make my minimum income, I have to sell 10 to 12 units a month. And then if I can do that consistently, I figured that was 3 a week. And that may sound familiar to you, because that is the goal that I usually, that Jen and I usually talk to new sales professionals to start with, is to start, if you have, you know, when you're first brand new, that baseline, you know, we set training salaries kind of based on that number, you know, that 12 unit number, that 12 to 15 a month. But what's amazing about it is how you watch it. You know, I remember when I first started thinking 12 units would be awesome. That would be a really good month. And then after a year into it, you're looking at it going, oh, man, I only did 15 units this month. How horrible. You know, just the perspective, you know, because once you get to a point where you're doing 30, 40, 50 units a month, it's really just hard to imagine even having a month where you do 10 or 12. You know, that's something seriously wrong on that. But anyway, I wanted to point that out. Like I said, I was a little self-reflective today because I remember having such mixed emotions as I was holding my daughter for the first time. And I just, I mean, what an incredible, it's a sort of the beginning of where I am in my life now in a lot of ways. I mean, this is kind of the you know, it's the second part of my life. And a couple decades later, that's what's going on. Anyway, thanks for listening. Anybody have any comments on that, or are you glad that story's over and we can move on to a topic? any thoughts on that? You guys all asleep? Did I put you to sleep? So let's talk about thanks for bearing with me on that, you guys. So I do want to talk a little bit about sales, though, sales in general, because in thinking about that story, what I also remember thinking was, yeah, the sales guys that were at the company I worked at, I knew that they were making a lot of money. They were making six figures and better. They all had, you know, they'd come in off the golf course, and I mean, I just really liked the flexibility. I liked the kind of the control they had at the company. But I was a little embarrassed. You know, I'd gone to school to be a high school teacher. And when I came in, I didn't want to be the sales thing. I didn't like telling people that I was going into sales. Sales felt to me like what people did when they didn't go to school or when they didn't have a degree or when they didn't have it. That's what it felt way back then. I don't know why exactly, but that was kind of the impression. People even would tell me, you know, they would say it almost like an insult. Wow, you're a sales guy. You know, you're sales. And it almost sounded like they were calling me like a used car salesman, or, you know, that when somebody calls you, oh, you're such a salesman, they usually say that in an insulting way. You know, it's not really meant to be a compliment when somebody says that. And so I didn't really want to tell people that I was a sales guy, that I was a sales professional. I mean, to me, it seemed completely different. What I was actually doing seemed different than what the title was, you know, than what actually sales was. I didn't feel like I was going out there and tricking people into buying more expensive stuff. I didn't feel like I was going out and doing. In fact, when I first went out in sales, the company that I worked for sent us to this sales seminar thing, and this guy stood up there all day long telling us what I thought was the most slime ball sales techniques you could possibly find. And I remember leaving that room going, everything that guy said, I'm going to do the opposite. And I did. When I went out in the field, there sometimes I would say something to a customer that sounded kind of salesy, and I would start laughing, and I go, look, I know, you know, I'd kind of make a joke about it, you know. I'm like, wow, I love your hair, lady, you know, or something like that. And because I recognize that sometimes when you're in sales, you do sound like a salesperson. Sometimes you have to. You have to. There are certain things that you can't run away from. So, you know, if you are in sales, you do have to ask for the sale. There are ways you can do that. You can ask to help people. You can ask for the opportunity to serve them. But in some way, you know, shape or form, you do have to ask for the sale, right? You know, there are some things that you do have to do when you are in sales. And to some people, it can come across as sounding like a salesperson. But what I wanted to talk about today in terms of sales in general is that I think slowly, and I got to credit Tom Hopkins for this because I listened when I went out after I got rehired and I was given this really crappy territory, Fallaville, Michigan. I mean, there was nothing happening in Fallaville, Michigan, and the sales manager was rightfully upset that I'd been rehired, and he gave me the worst possible territory that he could think of, expecting me to fail. Well, you don't tell me, you know, you don't get to tell me whether I fail or not. So, you know, that's going to be up to me. It's my decision whether I fail. So I decided to make something of it. And when I was out canvassing my territory, I was listening to the audio version of How to Master the Art of Selling Anything. And Tom Hopkins starts right off on that presentation talking about the profession of sales and how we, you know, a lot of people, he was talking to me. I mean, he was talking about how people are embarrassed or ashamed, and people would say, oh, you're too honest I could never do sales. I'm too honest to be in sales, which is insulting. And this is exactly how I have felt about the sales profession before that too. It's exactly how I felt about it. And he said, no, you can't look at it that way. Sales is what makes the world go round. Everybody does sales of some type. I mean, all of you work somewhere. You have a job, I think, that otherwise you're just killing time hanging out on Motor Vitality's MV Pro call. So yay for that. I just stumbled across this podcast. What's this about? This guy rambling for whatever about his kid? Blah. But anyway, sales is, you know, if you got a job, that was sales. Anybody that has ever gone on a job interview ever was on a sales call, because you have to convince the customer, the employer, to pay you to purchase your services. That's sales. Everything we do is sales. If you have kids and you're trying to get them to go to bed, that's sales. I mean, the world revolves around sales. But, I mean, everything, sales is what has made the world go round from the beginning. It is what economies are based on. It's an exchange of goods for something else, whether it's you exchange something of value for something of value. And the relationship that around that exchange is called sales. Somehow, there have been, throughout the course of history, these people out there that have learned that are unscrupulous and have learned that they can at least gain temporary satisfaction by manipulating and taking for granted or taking advantage of other people. And that has happened enough that it has given the profession a bad reputation. Tom Hopkins says, you should be proud to be in the oldest, most noble profession in existence, sales as a professional. And I mean, the way he was talking about it, I was like, yeah, that's true. I can make a difference. I'm good at this. I don't have to go out there and if I have something I believe in, something that I value, if I can give more than I take, if I can, it should be pretty easy to sell this. And you know what? It was. The hardest part was meeting the new people. It was getting in front of people to tell them my message. You know, that was the hardest part. It was also one of the most fun parts, though, because I got to meet new people. When I, instead of trying to sell people stuff, I just wanted to kind of make relationships. I went in, you know, a lot of salespeople that have the same similar philosophy that I have, where they don't like that awkward part where you have to close. You know, you get down to the end where you got to ask for money and all of that stuff. Some people, I have never liked that part. Because I'm one of those people who really, truly does love to give more than, you know, I grew up in a religion I was in. We didn't get birthday presents or Christmas presents. And so as an adult, when I get a present for something like that, it's very awkward. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to getting gifts. I would way rather give that stuff. And that's the same for me in sales is, the only way I can feel comfortable closing a sale is if I feel like I have given them more than what I've asked for. That if I walk out of there feeling like they have, like the gift has all been, like I've convinced them somehow to give me this great gift, I just don't feel good about it. I want to feel like I have helped them more. And I think that's what the way sales is supposed to be. So, you know, the developing the relationship part, I like that because when I walked in to develop a relationship with the appliance guy or the plumber or the well driller or the builder or the granite countertops or the kitchen and bath design companies or all these people that in some way our industry touched their industries, for all of them, what I did is I didn't walk in there with the selling them something, asking for money. I walked in there simply wanting to learn about them, learn how my industry touched their industry. I heard that my industry does. I know on the surface it does. But really, how does it? You know, what really, really does have an impact from my industry and your industry? You know, I learned certain things. I mean, the well drillers, that's one of the ones, you know, for example, when you sit down and you talk to well drillers and water treatment companies, of course they should get along, right? They're natural. They're digging well. The wells need water softeners. That should be the perfect relationship, right? Except that it's not because nobody talks to each other from the two professions. The water softener people are out there telling customers how bad the water is. Oh, my God, the water's so bad. You need all this really expensive equipment. The well driller guy is out there going, we got you really good water. We didn't have to go down nearly as deep, and we got you really good water. Now the softener guy comes in there and says, oh, this water sucks. You need all this equipment. But I just spent $5,000 to the well driller who told me he got really good water. And so you start to develop this animosity between these two professions. Excuse me. Sorry. That snuck up on me. So you start to develop this animosity between these two professions that you know, that could be, that really should be working together. You know, that should be. So to me, when I started looking at sales as being listening to each other, helping each other, talking about each other, and then taking pride in that, you know, taking pride in being able to help people and to... First off, the relationships made it awesome. It made it easy because then it becomes this little, you know, it's fun to give referrals to those people, you know, to send people that way with conviction and to know that they're going to serve and take care of people. And then when you start getting referrals back from them, it's awesome. That was my job. You know, everybody says, how did you create so much business? You know, because I did. I have told a lot of you, the most house leads I ever had in any one year was 23 house leads. And that year I did 347 units. And I created the vast majority of my own business, except that it wasn't me really that created it. All I did was went in and built relationships with other people who created the business for me. They sent people to me, and so usually by the time I got in front of somebody and was testing water at their house, I already had a relationship with them. That's why I was able to close at a high ratio, not because I'm this great wordsmith you guys have listened to these calls. You hear me fumble around. You hear my off-color humor. You hear my tangents. I'm not this great wordsmith. What I am, though, is somebody that loves the industry, loves what it does for my customers, and I love that I can come in and have such a tremendous impact, not only at people's lives, at their family level, but actually because of all of that globally. You know, I mean, this is what sales is. It's that, remember that stupid story I'm going to talk about it, but the Chicken Soup for the Soul. If you ever read that book, you know, the guy's walking along the beach and there are a bunch of starfish on the beach, like that have washed up on the beach, and there's a guy throwing starfish one at a time back into the ocean, and the guy walking along says, "What are you doing? There's like thousands and thousands of these things. You're not gonna make a difference with this." And the guy picks up another starfish, throws it back into the ocean, says, "Made a difference with that one, didn't I?" You know, and it's, the point is, you know, one at a time, right? And if everybody came out there and started throwing those starfish back, maybe it would make a difference. You know, and that's the way I began to feel in this profession called sales, you know, is that I could go out there and one family at a time, you know. So, you know, is that arrogance? Maybe, but man, does it feel good to be able to do that when you have that happy customer and you know that you've made a difference in their lives and they call you back up and thank you and talk to you, not like you're that guy they bought something from, or that lady or woman they bought something from, you know, a couple years ago that they couldn't remember, but because they wanted to tell you about their kids graduating, you know, or some event that made them think about you as a person, not as the typical sales person. Anyway, that's my rant. That's my little sales topic. What is sales as a profession? A couple minutes left. What do you guys think? Anybody still awake? I didn't hear any dings, but did you guys just set the phone down? Oh, this is one of Kelly's days. We're just going to set the phone down, walk away for a little bit. What do you guys, tell me what you think.
I think it's pretty interesting.
Okay, thank you.
You said it all. I don't think anybody has anything they can add to that. You said it all.
Go on. No, I'm sitting.
And I say that in somewhat joking, but all seriousness too. I mean, I think that those of us that are on the call, we do have that passion for the water industry, and we have that passion for sales. Because we're on the call, we're trying to better ourselves in sales. So, no, I completely agree with everything that you've said.
Well, guys, I really appreciate, I wasn't sure exactly where the topic was going to take me. I was just, like I said, I woke up a little self-reflective today because of the, you know, my daughter's birthday. And frankly, I gotta admit, I miss her like heck. So I called her yesterday for her birthday because it's already, you know, yesterday was today for her. So I talked to her for a long time last night. And I just, you know, just woke up a little reflective on it. So I appreciate you guys letting me rant, and I hope that you got something valuable out of it. So, with that, we will talk to you next week, if not before. And everybody be safe, and thanks for playing. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Dylan.